Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our live question and answer talk. I'm just in Taree at the moment. Just finished a clinic at the Taree Showgrounds. And I'm just at somebody's house helping one of the rescue 20 horses from Mudgee that I've come to look at a little Welsh pony. I was going to do it actually outside near the Welsh pony, but the wind picked up and it was just a bit too hard, probably with the wind noise on the phone. So, but anyway, I'm on the road and yeah, quite interesting little pony. I've just been working super, super sensitive and very wary of people. And apparently these rescue horses were, it's a sad story anyway about these ponies that were these Welsh ponies that they I think it was on ABC Landline actually. So there was sort of so many stallions and mares and all starving and super frightened of people. So for horses that were sort of bred and kind of been around people, God knows what's, what happened to them there. But anyway, they're all rescued and I'm at one of the places that rehomed one of them now, just working with one. And then I've got another clinic up in Maxville that I'm going to, and then up to Port Macquarie, up to Maxville, then up to Bangalow. And then I've got some days where I'm actually going around filming a few horses of people who have registered in with some horses that they're having some dramas with and would really like some help on. And some are rescue, some are off the track horses and that sort of thing. So I'm going to be going around and doing a fair bit of filming of those horses while I've got a bit of free time created by coronavirus. So anyway, I'll get on to the questions now, because I'm going to go back out after the question and answer and do a little bit more with this pony, which I'm filming, because it was one of the applications of troubled horse that I could come and help. So anyway, so Betty James, when trying to expand our horse's window of comfort, what are some examples of exercises? And then you've clarified your question a little bit more here. I guess a bit more info. She came here very braced. She's horrified of strangers and has learned a good squeal will keep them away. So it sounds like she's getting nervous, and when it gets to her worry cup being a bit full, she's sort of starting to say, hey, that's enough, instead of just running off like this little pony would do that I'm working. She probably sort of challenges the person and says, hey, get away. Some of those things like that happen because the horses was originally said, well, I can't go away, so then it starts to get protective. But I don't know the history, so we got past this by just staying with her till she stopped moving. Then I'd take my hand away. I have been learning to read her comfort zone and have found that if I step away till I see her relax, at that point, she will come to me. She is an orphan who doesn't seem to speak horse well and is at the bottom of the pecking order. I have seen some improvement in this area as she's learning to stand up for herself. She has trouble with the vet and farrier, even though I can worm her and easily pick up her feet without a holder on. So back to the first part of the question is when trying to expand a horse's window, I've come to some examples of exercises. Now, funny that you ask that question, because the exercise that I'm doing with this little really troubled little pony this morning is an exercise which builds its confidence around people, and it's an exercise which I find very beneficial. The one time the little pony got away on me, so I had to sort of do exactly what you were saying, is approach it just gently touching its comfort bubble, maybe hovering there a little till it had a little change, and then drawing back. And basically what happened is the little pony sort of came and drew into me a little bit and was a little more interested and confident, because we're really trying, because what happens with this little pony, every time you walk up, it tips away and, you can sort of sneak a holder on it while it's tipped away and things like that. But the idea is to get get the little pony confident with having its thoughts more strongly on the person and interested in the person while we handle it. So in that case, what you're doing with approach and retreat with the bubble is very, very, very good, and that sort of starts the process of the horse being confident with you. I'll talk about the lesson that I was just doing with this pony. It's a lesson I do with a lot of wild horses, nervous horses, anything like that. It's basically, I just get the horse leading with me offside a little bit, and I just walk backwards, just walking, and I'm watching the horse, so that I might do the lesson with the horse coming towards me, two eyes on, and I find out which is the nervous side and the not so nervous side, in the sense of what eye wants to look at me and what eye doesn't want to look at me. And then I basically gently work on the horse walking towards me all the time. So I just walk backwards and the horse is just drawn following me, and it's usually a very slow speed that the horse is just walking very slowly. I'm walking very slowly, and I just get the horse to walk and follow a lead. And then something I do is I'll just offset my arm out there a little, so the horse offsets and starts to put a little bit more one eye on me than the other. And I might do that on both sides until the horse can sort of walk a little offset, with still being able to see me with two eyes, but a little bit more with one eye. And then what I start to do is I start to just get the horse to walk by, but not ask it to just walk by. The way you do it is like you understanding the comfort bubble of the horse and approaching until the horse gets a little nervous. You just lead the horse until you feel a little brace and a little bit of tension, and then you might just not ask it any further than where that tension started. And what happens is the horse will just walk offset until it relaxes at that spot. And then generally they'll offer a little more and a little more, and then you can sort of get them to come past you. And because you've sort of mentioned the farrier and the vet and things like that, most of these horses that are like that, they're really frightened when someone's down their sides. They'd rather maybe keep someone out there where they can have the two eyes on them and keep them at bay a little bit. But when you get down their sides, that's when they start to get a little bit spooky. So this lesson, you're not climbing down the horse to handle them, they're just getting them to just gently lead by, but slowly doing it by breaking down that comfort bubble, in the sense that they get more confident to go past, and soon their eye will get beside you, sort of out wide little off you, and then soon their shoulder can go past you, and soon their ribs can go past you. So yeah, as I say, instead of you sort of climbing down their side and trying to handle them, you're working on their bubble, you just walk backwards. And because you're walking backwards, you're not as intimidating. They're following and they're constantly moving their feet. The good thing about constantly moving their feet, they actually learn to walk by and have them and be moving beside you relaxed. Because you might get a horse that you get down the side of it and the farrier's there handling its feet, but it's sort of frozen, and then the first thing when it does it, when it moves its feet, it wants to escape a little bit with that, with it, you know, because its thought process is, I've got to get away from this. So by getting a horse to come by while you're gently walking backwards and then go past you a little, it starts to move, but it actually moves around you and not away from you, and slowly lets down a little bit whilst it's moving. So once it can move beside you, and you can get them closer and closer by how you draw. So instead of sort of getting in and on them, you're going drawing them into you a little and saying, hey, can I rub you on the neck and things like that. And you actually do it whilst they're moving. And obviously you still give them little stands along the way to process and things like that. But the idea is they're moving softly until when you're at their ribs, you can just stop them and they're happy to stand there. But you know, when they move, they're not gonna skedaddle away. Does take a little bit of time, but after you've worked on that, what tends to happen is the horse is more solid at leading, because every time it braces and hangs up and gets a whole brace through its mind and body, you kind of just take it out through the lead. So the leading gets better. The way the horse moves around you gets more confident and better. So all in all, you get a more solid horse. So basically, it gets more confident having someone around its hip and things like that. And then when it does have to rebalance or anything, when the farrier's under there, then it's not so frozen. So yeah, I'd sort of work on that lesson, and you know, I think that's a really good one to you know, build up confidence in a lot of horses, but it also sets them up for confident lunging and things like that. So yeah, anyway, that's a good question, and yeah, hopefully I can help. Yeah, hopefully that helps out. Sabina had a trainer work my horse for a while, and she says that she's only useful as a paddock horse, as she's reluctant to move forward freely. My question is, what are some issues that would cause a horse to be reluctant to move forward, even on trail rides? When she has enough, she refuses to go forward. So the issues that going forward issues, now I've that sort of you know, the trainer said the horse is a paddock ornament because it's reluctant to move forward. I don't know how many hook clinics I've done where people have bought a newly started horse and the information's been, the trainer said this horse needs to be ridden in spurs because it's lazy and it won't move forward. And you know, and I don't know how many times I've seen horses at clinics that, you know, either a stick or a or an artificial aid's been used because the horse is deemed as lazy or things like that. And reluctance to move forward is generally caused through anxiety and lack of confidence, okay? So, there are some horses that are not frightened of people at all and they really want to be with the herd, but generally they just don't want to go out on their own. So it's not that they actually want to go home because they just want to have a, you know, a tea party with their mates. It's because they don't feel confident enough with you out in the paddock. So they, when they go out in the paddock or go for a trail ride with you, they've left their confidence zone, or, you know, the herd. So they want to go back there, and that's, you know, people call that separation anxiety. I tend to call it connection disability because, you know, the horse is not connecting and feeling safe with us. So it's a general connection problem. And, you know, some people that treat it as separation anxiety, they have ways of paddocking horses so the horse learns to be better on its own, but that never helps the connection with us, and it doesn't make us fix ourselves and fix our relationship with our horse or the education that we have with our horse. So basically, I do a lot of leading out with the rein, more and more than I even used to. Like, the more and more I understand the fundamentals of reins and seat and legs and things like that, I get horses to lead out with the reins, which means sometimes if I've got a really stuck horse, and there's a video that we just put up online, which is on the subscription, which is about, would have been last month, a racehorse that wouldn't move and how we just used the reins to get it to lead off. Now, the part of the video that I didn't actually get to videoing was the last lesson where the horse just trotted a circle around and was really free and really, really happy at just moving forward with the owner. But basically the horse just learnt to freeze, so that's why it stopped racing. It'd just lock up and freeze in the barriers and things like that. No one could get it to shift. And she had it for 3 years and it couldn't move for her. But it was going in with the legs and kicking the horse and making it move forward was not an option because we knew that was going to make the horse freeze. So it wasn't the best thing to do. So I just taught her to lead off with the rein, and that was just, I'm just going to put the horse a little out of balance with the reins, hang in there until the horse goes, I might shift from this spot. So it has to, it requires a bit of thought to shift. So it shifts a little and then it shifts a little again. And then after a while, the horse started to go, well, I might try this spot here. I might go for a walk. Because every time it moved its feet, it got back in balance and then it'd think somewhere. And then what happened? It actually started to think somewhere and then it started to walk off. So every time it stopped, she'd just use a rein. It got a little out of balance. It went, oh, okay, I might try and shift and walk somewhere else. And then it started to walk around. But what happened, because she was leading the horse out with the rein, by the time it got to turning and holding its own flow, it wasn't getting stuck in the reins because she taught it to get unstuck with the reins from a standstill. So by the time it was moving, it was floating with the reins. But what it did was teach the horse to have a forward thought and think about moving forward itself. So she wasn't carrying the horse. So what I would do with a horse like yours is I'd probably have it close to where it wants to be, where it feels safe, and teach it some tools that it needs to know in its safe environment. So that might be how to back up, how to steer, and just see what it's like with leg aid in its close environment. You might find that when the horse is looking away from its mates, the legs don't work and it sucks back. But when it's looking towards its comfortable place, the legs will work. So something you can sort of do is maybe get the horse a little away from where it wants to be. Not far, and it has to be 50 metres or 100 metres. And then get on it, use some leg, get it to go back to where it wants to be. And you can do that quite a few times until you might have had 50 transitions that were good every time, instead of having 50 ones where the horse would sort of brace and go, I don't want to go, to 50 that maybe it went. So try and get the horse in a position where you're going to ask it with legs to go somewhere. And that's just fixing the accelerator on its own. So the horse is getting confident to move off your legs You know, we get on a horse and think, I want to go here and you don't, and we get all frustrated. Well, before we even think or have the right to move a horse where we want to go, we've got to give him the tools and get confidence with the tools that we're actually going to use to show them where to go. That's confidence with the tools and confidence in themselves at going places. So what we want to do is just get your horse to, what you want to do is just get your horse to get confident maybe with moving forward off the legs by setting it up so it's interested in the direction that, you're asking it to go. So then the other thing I sort of do is I actually try and encourage people to learn to walk the horse away from where it wants to be with the reins and back to where it wants to be with the legs. Because if the horse's mind is stuck on its mates, it's a steering problem, not an acceleration problem. But it comes through the accelerator because we kick and the horse goes no. But the reason it's saying no is because its mind's stuck at the yards or it's not confident. So to get your horse to move forward freely, you have to actually leave the horse alone when it's moving freely. So like I did a demonstration with someone yesterday at a clinic where I sort of imagine you got a spider just crawling around on your back and you're trying to look over there. You know, there's nothing worse than having something sneaking up behind you or something like, oh, what's on my back? And a lot of horses I see at clinics is people are trying to move their horse forward with more impulsion, more legs, but they're actually carrying their horses. They're trying to kick them all the time. And because they're kicking them all the time, they're like a spider on their back just wriggling around like white noise, and the horse is stuck on them, and it actually doesn't get the confidence to think forward because it's so interrupted by us going, come on, come on, come on, go, go, go. So it's very important that we set a horse up to go and then we leave it alone so that that's in by maybe going back to where it wants to be. So as soon as the horse goes, you just sit on it like a tourist on a beach ride. You don't have to sit up there like a fancy rider because you're probably going to be too busy if you're riding too good. And you just sit there and let the horse carry you, and the horse goes, oh, this is easy. I don't have a spider or a monkey crawling around on my back all the time. I can actually think about what I'm worried about over there or things like that. So once you've set up a little bit of impulsion, it's important to leave the horse alone. Allow the horse to completely stop. Say if you started at a walk, you'd allow your horse to completely stop and then ask it to go again, because then the horse knows its responsibility is to keep walking. And then once it knows that responsibility, then it's going to keep walking. But while it's walking, it doesn't have a wriggler on its back that's just constantly getting its, you know, thoughts back on it. So people who sometimes go bigger with spurs and things like that, they're still carrying their horses along because they're not actually getting their horses to sort of self-sufficient and not giving them a responsibility. So yeah, and when you leave the yards, get your horse to maybe steer. So let your horse go, and what happens, I call it tacking. Anyone who knows a little bit about sailing knows that when you're going towards the wind, you can't just sail towards the wind. So if you're a bad sailor, you're gonna put down the sails and you're gonna start the diesel motor and just go, I give up. And that's what kicking and steering into the wind's like. So basically tacking is the wind is coming this way, but you're setting the sail up so the boat can sort of gently find its way out there. So basically if a horse thinks it might be able to come back on where it wants to be, it's gonna keep moving. So you actually turn the horse off to the side and it thinks it's gonna come back around on itself, so it keeps moving. And then just at that point that you might be starting to head back, you say, hey, try this direction, but you take it further. So then what happens, it tacks back this way, and because it's this eye's thinking over here, it's drawn to be that way, so it moves and it keeps moving, and it gives you the chance not to kick it as much. And then what happens is after a while, what happens in the horse's mind is it goes, well, I've gone to there and that door's closed. I've gone to there and that door's closed. I might try this door. And it might have a new thought, but it thinks in a new direction, and you just let it go. And a horse like that, Sabina, that's what I'd use to get it to think in a new direction. And it'll start to choose new directions. But if you're hunting and you're a wriggler on its back like a spider, it's going to keep thinking back on you and it won't have the confidence to move forward. So, you know, if you try those things, I think you'll be able to sort of, you know, find some ideas that'll help your horse out. So, you know, but thank you very much for the question. Stella, when I am leading away from the barn, he stops and refuses to move forward sometimes, but not always. He's not snarky or anxious, just planted, no intention of moving. He will stand there with tension on the halter with his back foot cocked, calm but planted. I stand with light pressure and wait. He will sooner or later take a step forward and I release. Sometimes he goes willingly away from the barn. Some days the process takes 15 minutes. I've worked on leading as per videos and he does good. He's unbalanced. When we are away from the barn, he leads not very nicely. He does have some separation anxiety that we continue to work on. My question, am I doing the right thing or just wait on him to unlock or think forward? He seems to be improving, but 15 minutes just to walk away from the barn at times. Once we get away from the barn, he's not locked up and bracy. So that's a common thing. There's a point where the horse's strongest thought is still back at the yards, and there's a point where they sort of reside to the fact that they've left, and then they change their thought because there's more other interesting things out there to think about. Not necessarily interesting, just more things that capture their thoughts, and they break their thoughts off the barn. But while the barn's close, you know, it's like looking out the window at your mates and you're in the office working or something like that. But once they all go away and leave, your mind gets back on your job or something like that. So sometimes when a horse is quite close and then they reside to the fact and they change their thought, other horses get further away and get worse. So you know, they're the ones that really suffer from, you know, a disconnection with people, and they just really get more frightened the further out from the herd. But a lot of horses just reside to the fact that, okay, it's there now, that's where my primary thought is. Okay, I'll give up on that now. I'm done, we're further away. Right, what are we doing? Or I'm thinking about you more. So basically, I wouldn't just sit there and hold on the lead if it's happening all the time, because the longer you hold on a lead, and yeah, there's times on a young horse, like see on a young horse, I would say, yeah, just hang into the lead till the horse has a thought change and steps up, and it might take a half a minute or a minute or so hanging that lead till the horse steps up, and then it might choose to change the same thought. And after so many transitions, after a while, the horse doesn't hang on the lead. But if you think it's a habit and the horse keeps doing it, that's when I'd just change its thought a little stronger. So, you know, even if you were just carrying your little flag or something like that, just a little one to pop on your leg or however you kind of can just make a little distraction. So I'd get to a point just before the horse braces. So that's where your secondary focus has got to be switched on to what your horse is doing. So before the point of brace, you might see the thought start to go backwards, okay? A lot of times the horse will just think the thought and then brace. So be a bit more sort of aware of your horse out of the corner of your eye. Watch it. And when you're walking, you'll see the thoughts go, man. But before it braces, you might go, sorry, I just moved the lead. Bang the lead. You might just bang your leg or, you know, clap, whatever. And the horse will go, oh, what's that? And then that thought will just quickly snap out of its mind. And it might just keep coming along a little. And you're just trying to, you know, just change the thought. The other thing you can do is when you do that is actually deliberately stop. You know, so another thing you can do is you walk. As soon as you see the thoughts go backwards, change the thought, but when the thought's on you, stop. Reach out for your horse and get the thought to come to you in a soft, positive way. So instead of just snapping its thoughts away from the barn, you snap its thoughts away from the barn and you say, here I am. And the horse will bring its thoughts to you and it'll go, oh, I like you. And it'll give it a confident thought. So instead of just a distraction, it actually makes a little connection with you. And then you could sort of lead off again. So just little things like that, you might be able to help. But if the horse was sort of hanging on to the lead for too long, most definitely I'd actually say, because a horse can lay on a lead and just lay and stop searching for a while and then go, oh, ka-chink. So basically, if a horse is laying on a lead for too long, I distract it a little to get it searching and push the lead and say, oh, okay, I'll test it and step up. So I'd you know, yeah, pop the flag, bang my leg, make the horse go, oh, hang on, search, step up, and then I'd wait a little, and then I'd walk off. But try and actually beat it before it happens, in the sense of read your horse. When it gets a little anxious, get its thoughts, give us what it needs, a bit more confidence, get its thoughts to you, and then say, now let's walk off together, and repeat that, so you actually don't get the horse stuck too often. Because sometimes horses get stuck a lot, and because they get stuck for a while, they haven't learned not to get stuck, and it becomes a little habit. It's like the horse that you saddle it up and it bucks three times and then it settles down, and they go, I just got to put up with it bucking three times. But there's a reason it's bucking three times, and if it's allowed to buck three times, well, it could become part of the repertoire. As in, it goes, I'm anxious, I buck three times, but then I figure it out and I settle down. But you don't want that to happen in case someone else accidentally saddled it up and wasn't aware of that. Like the horse, it always moves when you get on, it all moves when you walk off. Some horses need to move a little bit. And yeah, we might say, oh, my horse needs to move, and then it settles, but that becomes a repertoire, but there's a reason it moves. And it means it's not connected when you first get on it. So, you know, before that sort of happens, reset it so it stops happening, because you don't want it just to be part of the repertoire all the time. Thanks, Stella, for that question. I hope that helps. And but that's a common thing, that horses just lead along a bit, then they go, that's enough. So Missy, my old young horse has undergone the training on the circle as per your suggestions, which worked wonders. Well, I'm glad, that's good. If you've said the training on the circle as per your suggestions and the horse has gone berserk, I'd be a bit concerned. And I had two people before trying to ride him before I did the work on the circle, but they had a death grip on his reins, so he bucked them off in situations where he felt insecure, and his worry cup got full really quick. And I guess because the death grip made him feel claustrophobic. That is why he has not been ridden much. I now want to start him myself, but I am unsure as to start. I have seen videos of you where you just sit on the horse in the middle of the arena, aka the safe place. Is that a good place to start, or should I just ride him for 5 to 10 steps and then get off him and increase it so as not to increase his worry cup? Thanks. First of all, by the sounds of the death grip and his panic, you got to sort that out. So basically, if he's worried about the rider, that's one thing. If he's worried about the death grip the rider puts on, that's another thing too. Now, you can get on a horse and, you know, some people say to people, and I do the same too, let go of the reins, let that horse have a bit of room to think. But if I have a horse that panics when it gets in a trap with the reins, well, that's a red flag, a real red flag to fix. So you don't just teach a horse to ride with confidence by being, just keep it in its comfort zone and just let it ride around and get confident with us. It has to be confident with the tools as well. So yeah, you can do exactly what you said there, is get on it, just keep him in his comfort zone and slowly build his comfort zone. But he has to get used to the death grip, and most people have a death grip. Even over the years of me starting horses, I probably, the more I did and the more really wild horses and the more wrecks I got in, you know, from doing really tough horses, or the ones that were really tough over the years, made me a little bit more possibly itchy on the trigger than I was when I first started. And that was just, I wasn't naive anymore. I was aware of what can happen, so you get a little twitchier. So the death grip shouldn't be something the horse is frightened of, and a lot of horses are. And what is a death grip? I'll explain it. A horse pulls back on a lead that is tied up to a post. It goes, death grip, okay, panic. So that's the death grip. That's the death grip with pole pressure. The death grip is when a person grabs onto the reins and goes, oh no, and the horse just panics. Okay, so basically a horse has got to understand that the lead rope stops, the reins stop, and it's okay. So when you're leading your horse past in your groundwork and things like that, you've got to do a lot of constant little interruptions. And so when you're leading your horse past, you might have taught your horse to lead past, but it just might be leading by. What I would tend to do is I'd actually walk it really slow as I lead it past, and I would stop it halfway past and back it up and say, come forward and back it up. And I would get it close under the chin, and I'd start to work it forward and backwards until you get a lot of that head brace, and so you interrupt it. It gets a forward thought, you interrupt it with a backward thought, things like that, and backwards and forwards, and until that horse, no matter how, if you firm up under its chin and backwards and forwards like that, it's okay about that, and it just realizes it's just a pathway, not a trap. So you've got to realign the way it thinks about pressure, that the pressure just is offering a pathway. It's not just sort of keeping it away from where it wants to be, or trapping it and making it spook. So it has to be aware that reins are a pathway, even if they go a little faster, even if they firm up. and things like that. And that's really important to teach your horse on the ground. Once the horse is really confident in all those little interruptions, those instead of becoming interruptions that, that seem like a negative interruption, they become a positive interruption and feel more like you're just offering the horse a path, that it just follows softly without any brace. So that's really important to teach your horses that. And you know, so just saying to someone, get off your horse's head, is not good enough. It's good for the person to know, not to death grip, because some people death grip all the time, so the horse never learns that the reins are a pathway. They're just something that's just white noise. So yeah, you've got to teach the people not to death grip, but you've got to get the horse to understand it's not a death grip, it's a change of thought. And when I hold on to you, it means come back and come back into a backup. But as a trainer, we have to release to say, thank you, that's what I'd like, that's the answer. So get your horse more used to the head pressure. And horsemanship's not just always about, oh, it's on a loose lead and the horse just floats around on a loose lead. It's the horse being confident with pressure and pressure coming on and the horse not being frightened of it. So, yeah, I hope that helps a little. And but, yeah, most importantly, the same, what I said, sit on him, ride him in his safe place, expand it until he gets better. But as you're riding him in his safe place, make sure you've worked on him understanding the reins, so you can take a rein, turn him, back him, things like that, and he doesn't go, oh, I just want to fight that. If he's fighting in his safe place, then when he gets out of his safe place, he's going to fight more and it'll feel like a death grip to him. The other thing is work on the legs too. So you know, sometimes we've got a free-moving horse and then all of a sudden we haven't used our legs for sort of 5-10 rides, and all of a sudden we might need to, and then the horse goes, what's that? Ah, no, or they get frightened. So work on a lot of slow down, speed up, till the horse is really confident and understands what your legs are about, and then you can take it out of its safe area and into a, you know, expand its horizons a bit. Thank you for that question. Yeah, the old death grip. Karen, when asking my mare to lead past me, I'm restarting under saddle. That's what you're doing. By the looks of it, you're off the track standee for ex-pacer. Yep. As soon as she gets past me, she goes into trot, circling me, and is difficult to stop. I haven't lunged her much, maybe a couple of times a year ago, but I had the same issue of her becoming a speed demon and stressed. She's an ex-pacer. And it doesn't matter how much rope she has. Okay, so just yesterday at the clinic, there was a horse that the lady got on this horse, and I could realise how it's just like, I went, it was like, and I went, wow, that horse is, and apparently when you go over woo boys, if you don't know what a woo boy is, it's like a contour bank in a road, you know, when you're riding up forestry trails to stop the water cutting down the road. We call it woo boys because when you're working cattle, you're going woo boys or woo boys or woo boys to your draft horses. So there's an old term for contour banks, and because the contour bank is there to woo the water down, so it's woo boys. So they call them woo boys, and just a term you guys can sort of think about. So anyway, so this horse, when it was going over woo boys, the up part of the woo boy, it'd rush over like it was going to jump over it, and yeah, when I saw it, it was a super rushed horse. So there was no point in me trying to give this owner a lesson in how you can settle your horse out in this showground arena. I just got on the horse's head while she was sitting on it, and I showed it how to walk slowly, and I said, don't rush, and I held it a little firm till it had a change of thought and just realized, and it came down in my hand and relaxed and went, oh, I'm walking slowly, okay? So, and then when the horse was walking slow, I took my hand off and I just used my slow walk, and it walked with me, sort of connected with me, but having her on the back, and walked softly with me. And then once the horse had committed to that softness and realized, oh, I can do this, it let down, and the anticipation of what it was going to do went away because it was doing something else and its mind was committed to that, and it was more relaxed in that. So basically I said, don't go past me, stay with me until you can do this slow walk and relax. And then when the horse relaxed, I just said, now just feed out there. And then what happened is the little horse fed out there and walked slowly on the circle, or just on, you know, out where she was riding it. Like, she just rode out and we just did a little flower where I was the middle of the flower and she was the pedal, and just come back to me. If the horse got a little anxious, I'd just come back. Okay, so what I'm saying with your horse, it's the same lesson. When you're teaching the lead by, it starts before you send her. So it starts as she's going past. So there's a point there where she's anticipated, I'm going to go past your shoulder, then I'm going to rush. And it would have been something in her from the past, and it hasn't, and in her mind it's not rectified. So you rectify it by actually, when the point she's starting to think, I'm going to go by now, she takes over and she gets on that destination, you slow her down and say, and you slow her and you back her off a little, and then you say, come again, and walk slow until she lets go of that thought that she's going to run past you. When she lets go of that thought, then you just loosen your hand and let her walk by soft. And that's how I fix a lot of horses. You're teaching them to lead by without driving them, and you're technically, there's nothing to run away from. It's a memory. It's an anticipation of something that they were going to do, because it has an old worry in it from something they'd never understood not to worry about. And then you just got to reset it. And you reset it by letting them just soften in your hand. Now walk past when you're ready. You'll know when she's ready because she'll let go of that thought that she's just about to run. And then you'll see her let down. You'll see her go, oh, I thought I always ran by, but you showed me I don't have to. And then you'll see a change in her when she gets out on that lunge. And if she does run, you just give her a bit of space and try again. But just don't let her by until you know she's going to walk by soft. And that's really an important lesson for everyone there in the leading by lessons with the anxious horses. As Mark says, lead by, so we just go lead by, and the horse still leads by with worry, no matter, even if we're taking the drive away from our groundwork. But they've got to lead by thoughtfully and confidently. So I hope that helps, Karen, and I hope you good luck with your new pacer. I'm sure the type of person you are, you'll help your horse out a lot. So, Tony, hi Mark, I have a question about stopping. My daughter's mare pushes through the stop. Sometimes it can take 10 metres to stop. Other times, not so far. She has a tendency to toss her head when she doesn't want to do something. She backs up really well, drops her head into a nice position, and lifts her back. Thank you for answering my question regarding Harley. He's going really well. I appreciate all the time you put into the question and answers. Thank you for that. It's I enjoy being able to help out. So it's sort of, I guess, why I do this, because it's, you know, there's a lot of satisfaction in it. So. Can't listen today as I'm working, Tony. Okay, Tony, so the horses push into a stop. Okay, some horses back up really well, but when they go forward, they've got to force. So they've been taught by obedience to back up, and they get their head in the right place and they back up. But when they go forward, they're really strong-minded and they carry tension. So basically, a horse that pushes into a stop, I teach it to only walk a little bit and then back up. So I actually teach them to walk into a backup, but I don't let them get a head of steam up. And I might, you know, so basically I'll just say, walk a few steps softly, back up, walk a few steps softly, back up, walk a few steps softly, back up, until the horse is going forwards, backwards, forwards into a backup, forwards into a backup. And then I expand the distance, and then I start to raise the speed, you know. So I might go from a slow walk into a backup, I might go to a medium walk into a backup, a fast walk into a backup, and I do that 50,000 times until the horse knows that it can go forward and its thoughts come back. But the main thing that you do when you're getting into the backup is you back up till your horse's thoughts come back and its mind is in one place, as in with you in one place, not over there with its feet still with you. Okay, so when you do the backup, release when the horse is thinking backwards, and that'll really help. So forwards into a backup, forwards into a backup, and, you know, do it, make it easier to start with, and then eventually it'll be trot, slow down and through a walk into a backup, fast walk into a backup. And you just got to repeat it until the horse knows that reins mean change, reins mean change. You know, there's lots of other ways you can sort of, you know, come around, but basically at the end of the day, the horse has got to learn what two reins come on. And because the horse already knows how to back up, it's time to start to say, don't go too far. Because I think when your horse gets moving forward, it just gets a little anxious and casts its thoughts over the horizon, and then it just forgets about those reins, and then when it finally does stop, oh, that's right, I've got to back up. So yeah, you're just not letting it get too far. So as soon as you see the thoughts start to sneak out too far, then you say back up. But before that, you've taught your horse that a lot of times. And yeah, it's just a matter of a lot of transitions instead of, you know, because some of those horses don't just learn it after a couple of days. They need a lot of transitions. So there's just a question come up from Sky, and then I might have to finish because I've got to go back to my little wild pony and work in a second, which I'm quite excited about. But you should be able to see the videos once we get home and sort them all out. Some will be going on the subscription and be really helpful for anyone with any rescue horses and things like that. I have an older green standard bred mare. During groundwork, we have worked on leading off and working in a calm state walk. Under saddle, when she's anxious, she just freezes on yielding hindquarters and moving forequarters whenever it becomes too much for her. How can I keep her moving through that? One, don't use your legs, and two, you can get in and wait on a rein. Sometimes a horse bends around to your boot, but then they just, you know, think they're going to get a give in the rein or something like that. But just keep a little pressure on the rein, and just be careful with it. You don't get your horse into bind or a panic, but just keep a pressure on the rein until the horse decides to rebalance, and it has to rebalance and move its feet through the rein. So horses get stuck in their feet with the rein. So the reason I teach horses to lead off and maybe not use leg is so they actually move in the rein, and they actually move and rebalance and move their feet, so they don't get stuck in their corners and their yields later on. So basically, if your horse is stuck, just keep pressure on it. If you bent that head around, you've got an indirect rein, just keep it there and keep a little pressure. The horse will fight, and then instead of fighting in the head, it'll rebalance through the feet. And then once it moves the feet, you just loosen up and just let it out, and just keep doing that until eventually it starts to move and keep going again. If you keep kicking, and you wear out the accelerator, but then you'll still have problems in the reins. So yeah, thanks very much, Sky, for that question too. But everyone else, thank you for your questions. And yeah, look forward to talking to you in roughly a fortnight. Sorry, this one's a little late. It's just with everything, it was a bit hard to do a live talk. So, but anyway, thank you, everybody, and I'll talk to you next time. Thanks, Sky. Bye.